Mission of Jesus. I can't quite return the slide. A 7-week series on the mission of Jesus, following in his steps. You notice the poster back there in the narthex. And something's not quite working for me here. That's a slide we're going to need in a minute. Okay, that works. Ooh. That's cool, eh? That's cool. Oh, yeah. Okay. So now you got a whole preview of the slideshow today. Great. Good. Okay. Now we can go home. It's all good, eh? Okay. We're working. We're cooking with gas, as they say, right? Eventually, we might be cooking with gas here. The gas line up the road. But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. The mission of Jesus. Now, last week, we began this series, The Mission of Jesus, and I talked about Jesus in following the will of God. Do you remember? And how over and over and over again, Jesus talked about the fact that he was here to do the will of the Father. To do the will of the Father. I'm here to do the will of the Father. My food, John 4:34, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me. And I think it's very important that we always circle back and always are refreshed about the life of Christ. And as I said last week, if you're reading in the Old Testament, that's wonderful. Between books of Old Testament, skip to the Gospel for a few chapters, then get back into your Old Testament readings there. What you might find me doing as I preach through God's Word, I might do an Old Testament book, and then I'll flip back to the New Testament book, a Gospel, and then maybe I'll go back to an Old Testament book. And so you might guess, after this series, we're going to be in the Old Testament for a while. But then after that, probably be back in the New Testament, probably back in one of the Gospels. And we just need to always be so familiar, never stray too far from the life of Christ and the person of Jesus. He's got to be central. He's going to be central in my teaching and preaching. He's going to be central in our lives, in our personal study, in our devotions. We're followers of Jesus, aren't we? So let's keep Christ central to all. Jesus said in John 6:38, recapping last week again, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So Jesus communicated over and over again a yielded obedience. Remember those two words from last week? He communicated a yield obedience to the Father. His very life was an act of yielded obedience. I didn't talk about it last week, but his baptism, right out of the get-go, is his inauguration of ministry, in a sense. His baptism was an act of yielded obedience. Jesus said his baptism fulfilled all righteousness. It accomplished God's will. And as Jesus approached the cross where he would die, he said, not my will. We follow in his steps of yielded obedience by acknowledging God as truly preeminent Lord of the entire universe. And in response, we seek to live a life that reflects that supremacy. And this will often mean we change our very lifestyles, our ways of thinking, our attitudes, constantly yielding our lives to our loving Maker. I want us to notice, message title today, okay, there we go, is the message of his mission. If you're making notes, this is the title for today's message. It's the message of his mission. So what was the message of his mission? And before we get that, I want us to notice four things. Jesus' baptism, preaching, teaching, calling of the disciples, healing miracle ministry are repeated events early on in the life of Christ. What I enjoyed doing this week was I looked at the first few chapters of each of the Gospels and noticed what things are talked about initially about Jesus. And these four things, his baptism, his preaching, the calling of disciples and his healing miracle ministry are these are basically the first four things noted about Jesus' ministry in each of the Gospels. Each of the Gospels talks about his baptism. Each of them talk about a preaching and teaching ministry, the calling of the disciples, and healing ministry. And last week, as I talked about the yielded obedience to Christ, that's really is reflected in his baptism, isn't it? The second thing here is the preaching and teaching ministry of Jesus. And this is what I want to focus in on today. And as I speak about the message of his ministry. And I want us just to quickly walk through those Gospels. You don't have to turn to them, but just notice them. I'm going to put some scriptures on for you. As we notice, starting in Matthew's biography about Jesus. Chapters 1 and 2 record the history of his birth, right, the Christmas story. Chapter 3 begins with his baptism and his temptation, starts first chapter 4. But then we come to 4:17, and we read this. Let's read it together. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Okay? He was baptized, tempted. Not all the Gospels record the temptation. Only two of them do. But they all say, after that baptism, or shortly thereafter, he began to preach. He began to teach. And what did he teach? He taught this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. Notice in Mark's Gospel. Mark's the next one. It's the second Gospel, and he doesn't record the Christmas story. Instead, Mark jumps right into the mission and ministry of Jesus. Right out of the gate, Mark 1, 9-13, speaks of his baptism and temptation. And then we have verse 14 and 15. And let's say this one together. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Getting the sense? Now Mark, right into it, right into preaching and teaching. This is such a core of Jesus' purpose and mission. Later in that chapter at verse 35, God's word tells us that Jesus got up, Mark 1:35, got up really early in the morning before the sun came up, went to a solitary place to pray, and eventually his companions found him. And they said, "Jesus, hey, everybody's looking for you." And notice how Jesus responded in verse 38. Let's say it together. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." I don't know about you, but when I saw that and I see Jesus saying, "That is why I have come," like big flashing lights. Imagine a neon sign around that thing. "That is why I have come. That is why I have come." And I just think we need to really focus on this for a minute. Why has Jesus come? What he's saying, so I can preach there also, so I can be, and we're going to get into it in a minute, what that message was, so I can be sharing the message of God. So, that was Mark 1:38. Now I want to briefly notice the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, we're going to go to John, and we're going to end on Luke, okay? I know it's out of our New Testament order. But John's Gospel, through emphasizing different events at other times, doesn't quite explicitly say, then Jesus began preaching. But notice this. Notice this from John's Gospel, 38 and 39. Remember, you notice we're in chapter 1, right at the get-go of John. Notice this. Turning around, this is Jesus, future disciples, or John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, and they notice Jesus, and John the Baptist notices Jesus, but notice, we're going to pick up, that's a bit of the background, we're going to pick up here in 38 and 39. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him, and it was about the 10th hour. So, notice here, it's reading between the lines. What are they calling Jesus? Rabbi, which means teacher. Even says, which means teacher in our Bibles. Right? So, you don't call a teacher someone who doesn't teach. Evidently, Jesus was already teaching. He had already started his teaching and preaching ministry, and this is how we know that. So what I'm saying is, again, Matthew, Mark, now John, he's baptized in each of the Gospels, and right away, he's preaching and teaching. This is what I'm trying to show you. This is what I'm trying to show myself. Now we're going to get to Luke 4, and this is where we're going to want to focus, because we see the same thing happening in this Gospel now. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, page 1596 in your pew Bibles. Let's open there together. This is where I just want to remain for the rest of this message this morning. This is the find a landing text, okay? So if you're not already there, open to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm going to notice 14 to 21. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. If you have it in your Bibles, you'll notice the first heading in chapter 4 is the temptation of Jesus. End of chapter 3 was the baptism. And now we have at verse 14. immediately following his temptation. Are you there with me? Can I have an amen? Amen. Okay, you're there with me in your Bible. Good. Beginning at verse 14, and I'm just going to read this here. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Here we have verses 14 and 15. We see Jesus made a point of ministering in Galilee. Okay, this is the region where he would have hailed from. This was to him the Selwyn Township, or Smith Ennis Moore Lakefield, if you're still back a few weeks ago, right? This is his township, Galilee. And his home was Nazareth, okay? It's like Bridge North as being a part of Selwyn Township. And so he's in Galilee, he's in the region. And verse 16 picks up, he went to Nazareth. You notice that? He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. It was the custom of Jesus to go to the synagogue. Jesus was a pious Jew, evidently. It was customary, something he did every Sabbath day, I would imagine. He went to the synagogue. And what does he do in the synagogue? Well, before I get to that, let's notice, what does the synagogue service in Jesus' day entail? Well, it had various elements. It was a reciting of the Shema from Deuteronomy 4. Hear, O God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the Shema. You can read that in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. There was the reading of the law. That was part of a synagogue service. A reading from the law, I should say. A reading from the prophets. Instruction about the passages and a benediction. Now let's pick up in verse 17. Jesus stands up to read. Notice with me, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I'm going to stop there for now. Wow, what an incredible passage. Passage that Jesus read Jewish people that day in that synagogue on that Sabbath was obviously from the book of Isaiah. It was from chapter 61. And what's especially significant about what Jesus chose to read to them that day is that passage called to mind an end times, a God's coming of in a new era, a new salvation. And so the people of Israel, You can just imagine their ears perking up. Ah, there's that beautiful passage of a time to come, a new era, a new act of God's salvation. And they're hearing Jesus read it. And Jesus says, later when he sits down, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You can just imagine their minds going, what? What? Incredible. As Jesus proclaims himself, he proclaims himself to be the bearer of this new era. The time of deliverance for humankind is now, Jesus says. And this deliverance would bring both a social and spiritual transformation in a new community. I want to notice three things, just three key ideas from this quotation of Scripture that Jesus gives us. First, but before I do that, notice here in verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to do what? To preach good news to the poor." Next line I've made in red, "He has sent me to what? Proclaim." And then again in verse 19, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It's obvious. Now, what are the three key ideas from this passage that I want us to remember and then later apply? First of all, Jesus is a bearer of the Spirit. You notice that from the first opening words of his quotation in verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's a bearer of the Spirit. Secondly, Jesus is a prophetic voice declaring good news. Proclaim. Proclaim. preach. Jesus is a prophetic voice declaring good news. And thirdly, Jesus is the one who brings healing and salvation. You notice that from the end. Recovery of sight for the blind, release for the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, there's much we could learn from Jesus' message and mission. And today, I'm just going to kind of scratch the surface a bit, kind of open our eyes to what are these first passages of Scripture in each gospel. And in every aspect of his life and purpose, there are footprints for us to follow too. That's why I've chosen that on the title slide, the footprints of Jesus. We're following in his steps. And from this theme today, the message of his mission, I think we're challenged here to follow in his steps by sharing the message. We follow in his steps as we share the message and carry on the mission. Sharing the message and carrying on the mission. I want to go back briefly to Luke 4. We notice that Jesus is the bearer of the Spirit. He's a prophetic voice declaring the good news, and he's the one who brings healing and salvation. I want us to apply these to our own lives. As followers of Jesus, we are bearers of the Spirit. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We are bearers of the Spirit too. Following Jesus in this in his mission, in his proclamation of the message, it's so encouraging to know that we are bearers of the Spirit as well. Notice this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 21-22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Boy, that's encouraging. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Isn't that beautiful? We're bearers of his Spirit. His word affirms it. John 7, 38 and 39, I love this passage. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Beautiful verses that remind us that as followers of Jesus, we bear the Spirit. And the Spirit of God moves through us like living water. Praise God for that. I want us to notice also the second part. Followers of Jesus are bearers of the Spirit. Followers of Jesus are called to declare the good news. This is what Jesus did in reciting that passage from Isaiah. He declared himself to be one declaring the good news. And we need to follow in that step of Jesus. And I love this passage in Romans 10. It's a challenging passage for all of us, but notice this. How then can they call on one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are those feet who bring good news. Followers of Jesus are called to declare the good news. We're called to declare it. We embody the Spirit, and we're called to declare it. We're bearers of the Spirit. We're called to declare it. And finally, followers of Jesus embody the grace of Jesus, the one who brings healing and salvation. Remember from that passage in Luke, Jesus is the one. He's the one who brings healing. We're called to point to him, right, in our proclamation. We're called to be embodiers of that grace, the one who brings the healing. We don't bring the healing. I don't bring the healing. Christ through us, the Spirit brings the healing. And we live in a world, we live in a world that is desperate for his healing. And it is desperate for healing spiritually. It's desperate for healing emotionally. It's desperate for healing physically, socially. And Christ brings healing into all that, doesn't he? He doesn't just say, great, you're healed spiritually, you're saved. No, when Christ comes into our lives and he brings healing over so much of our lives. over everything, really. When we're truly open to Him and say, Lord, heal me. Heal me spiritually, but Lord, I need healing from a lot of things in life. And when we're open to that, He brings that into our lives. Praise God for that. And we embody that grace. We embody that. We bring that message. We bring the message of the good news. We follow Jesus' mission in bringing the message of salvation. But as we do that, we also bring His healing and grace. And I know God is using you in many ways, in and where He has called you to be. I'm thankful for God's mission, the message of His mission, about good news, about repentance, key elements to His preaching. But as we follow Him, what's so encouraging for us is that His Spirit empowers us for that, and His grace infuses us for that. Are you glad for that? I'm so glad for that. If it was all up to me, if it's all up to you to do it on our own, our tails would be between our legs and we'd be heading for the high hills. But with God's help, so much is possible. Maybe there's someone in your life right now that's never heard the message of Jesus. Has never heard it. They've maybe been seeing it acted out in your life, but they've never heard it. And Jesus didn't just live out the gospel. He communicated it in His very message. And so there's an old saying, and you've probably heard it before, share the gospel, but only if necessary, use words. You know, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of that. Not only if necessary, use words. We need to share the gospel using words and our lives. They have to go hand in hand. It's not if only, if necessary, use words. Jesus preached. Jesus had a message. We have a message because we're followers of Jesus. And that message, yes, is in our actions. And Lord, help us. We all need help. I have a lot of growth area to do in my own actions. But it also needs to come in our words. If my neighbor just thinks I'm a kind neighbor that shovels his driveway once in a while and says hi, and we live beside each other for 10 years and all he knows is I'm a nice guy, I think I've let the Lord down. Because it's more about just being a nice person, isn't it? They need to know the reason why we're nice. The difference Jesus has made, right? Otherwise, we're just like anyone else. But when they know that the reason why we're different, the reason why the way we are is because Christ has come into our lives and He's changed us, then they hear the message of hope. And that's what saves. Jesus saves. My just being a good person, or you just being a good person, isn't going to bring salvation to your neighbor. They need to hear Jesus. They need to hear about Jesus at some point, don't they? And so may our testimony be so true and so blameless by the grace of God that when that day comes, when we do share about Christ, and it may come after years of building trust, when that day comes, let's pray that they're ready for that and that God's Spirit has already been working in that. So let's pray in closing that God would enable us and give us that grace, fill us with His Spirit. Lord, thank You so much for the message of Christ's mission, that message of the proclamation of good news, and that good news was Himself, Jesus. Lord, it's really hard, even in this day and age, to share about You with people we work with or our neighbors. For some reason, we get clammed up. We're afraid of what others might think of us. We think, maybe my boss isn't going to like me anymore, or maybe my coworker's going to think I'm weird. Oh, Lord, we have these petty thoughts, and we're sorry for them. We need courage, Lord. We need courage to live out the gospel and to share it in word and deed, but to do it with grace, to do it carefully, to do it in love. And we thank You, Lord. Help us to follow You in mission and in the proclamation of Your message. as we embody your grace in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.